Hey guys, welcome to episode 2 of Fury of Good Men. My name is Nestor Carullo. You guys are, if you listen to episode 1, which is more of a preamble, kind of covered what this podcast is going to be about. But basically, it's trying to make sense of all the bullshit that's going on and really trying to look at what is the actual situation and state of the country. So, have a couple of topics I want to touch on today, starting off with Kyle Rittenhouse. And there's been a lot going on. Today is November 24th. So I think just yesterday, Kyle met with President Trump and had a good overall kind of meeting, it seemed like. President Trump had nothing but good things to say about him. And rightfully so. He seems like a good young man. Seems like he has a good head on his shoulders and definitely shouldn't have been going through all the bullshit that he went through with that court case. It was a clear self-defense case. It's funny, I looked up the just typed in Kyle Rittenhouse on Google. Obviously, you can imagine what comes up. Immediately, it was every news source, every left-leaning news source from MSNBC to Huffington Post to CNN, they're ranked, I think, on the first two or three pages of Google. So you can already imagine what a problem that is, how we know that big tech is heavily favoring the left-wing media. But this, if this doesn't bother you, that they're infringing upon upon the First Amendment by censoring any other news source that doesn't agree with this left-leaning narrative, then it really should. And you should really be thinking about how problematic this could potentially be. And I'll start off with this. I mentioned that I looked up the Kyle Rittenhouse, just general Google searched his name and couldn't find anything other than crazy left-wing media content. But the funniest part, I think, that you guys can appreciate is that most of the people that I speak to, or most of the people that have anything to say about this case, they it's either one or two things. One, they've actually heavily followed this case, which they should, because this was a really important Second Amendment case, very much important in terms of self-defense. But the other part, or the other kind of group of people, and it doesn't seem to be a middle ground here, they just run with whatever narrative is being pushed out there. So if they follow CNN, they're just going to say this kid needs to be locked away and he's a menace to society and he killed innocent black people, which isn't true. The two individuals that he killed in self-defense were white, and even the third person that he shot in self-defense was white. And it's funny how many conversations I've had with people that they're almost shocked that they thought this was a black person that was shot, and it wasn't, and they're just completely caught off guard by that. And it's amazing that somehow this is being turned into a race issue of white supremacy and all these other things, when clearly this was just a young man that was acting in self-defense because, one, he was being attacked with a skateboard, and two, a gun was pointed at him. So what would you do if someone points a gun to your face and you're also armed? Would you not shoot them first? Because I can tell you the majority of people would, and rightfully so. So the other big misconceptions with this case are, or at least this is the big spin that the left wing, crazy left wing media is trying to do, is paint these people that were shot in self or by Kyle in self-defense as these saints. We've seen it time and time again with other situations, but in this case, it's particularly egregious because one of them, Joseph Rosenbaum, they're called the media calls him JoJo and all these other kind of names to try to humanize him. But it's disgusting because if you look up the guy, multiple batteries, multiple this rap sheet as long as who knows what, it's just this crazy rap sheet. And particularly the most egregious charges on there were that he molested and sexually abused multiple young boys. And again, a failure of our court system and our justice system that this guy was somehow released and somehow able to get off on parole or probation or something like that. I'll pull that up and see exactly what the context is, but why is an animal like that allowed to re-enter society? It's fucking disgusting. And this is one of the guys that goes out there, marches and claims to be Black Lives Matter supporter. Meanwhile, he's a rapist. He was arrested for domestic abuse, actually here in Arizona. He was sentenced to a decade in prison for child molestation charges. He spent over 14 years in prison and committed dozens of disciplinary infractions. So again, this is something that guy should have been in prison probably for the rest of his life. I mean, you're talking some serious charges. Then this other guy, Anthony Huber, attacked Kyle with a skateboard. And I mean, again, what do you want this? What would you expect Kyle to do? Not defend himself? Let this guy just beat him to death with the skateboard? And if you argue that you can't beat someone to death with a skateboard, then I challenge you to go pick up a skateboard, a heavy piece of wood that has the metal trunks attached to it, and start break a watermelon with it. If you can break a watermelon with it, then you can more than likely break a human skull with it and cause some serious damage, if not death. So here I'm looking at this picture that was posted of these these crazy lunatics that are holding up a makeshift sign. It's like a sheet with writing on it. It says Anthony and JoJo with heart signs. And it's disgusting. You're gonna try to humanize this guy who molested multiple children, and you're gonna try to humanize this guy who attacked a young man with a skateboard. And what's the end goal here? You're trying to say that they didn't deserve to be shot? Well, maybe they shouldn't have attacked the young man, and that wouldn't be an issue. I mean, they specifically attacked this guy, and the third person in the Kyle shot that survived, his name's Gage Grosskreutz, I believe is how you pronounce it. He was the one that at the trial testified that actually he was the one that pointed the gun, handgun at Rittenhouse. So they were all attacking, but I guess he was the one that pointed the gun. But he testified that he pointed his gun first. But he claimed him pointing his gun was unintentional. First of all, you're armed and you're pointing a gun. It's ridiculous that people can say it was unintentional that I pointed my gun. The first thing they teach you when you handle a firearm is to be intentional with the weapon, with the firearm. You have to know, first of all, you don't point it at anyone. That's rule number one. You never point a gun. You always treat a gun as if it's loaded, even if it's not. In this case, I'm sure he knew it was loaded, but you don't point the gun at someone because I'm going to interpret that, and 100% of other people would interpret it, if you point a gun at me, you're intending to shoot me. And in that case, I'm fully justified in defending myself. So it's ridiculous that this guy would even say it was unintentional. I don't understand why I was shot. Come on. It's a weak cop out. So yeah, it's crazy that this is even that Kyle even had to go through a trial to defend himself when there was clear evidence of all of this. There was video evidence of this. And it just goes to show the shitty climate that we're in right now, where the only reason this went to trial and this was taken to trial was because of this weird political climate that we're in, where everything is being bubble wrapped. People want to be bubble wrapped, and people get offended by pronouns and things like that, and we're focusing in on things that don't matter, and we're being divided political by with these political issues and honestly made up issues. So that really what's happening here, so that we can be so that people can force a vaccine on us, so that the rich can get rich, the ultra wealthy can get more wealthy. What happened? Like, what happened with why is this country in such a divide, and why are we falling for it? You walk down the street and you see black, white, Mexican, whatever it is, just caring about their business and talking to one another and working with one another. Whether it's you go on a job site and you see black, white, Mexican, all Asian, just working together on a job site where there is no crazy racial divide as the media, mainstream media, tries to portray. You go to any, I train Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and you go on the mats and there isn't a racial divide. You don't see the white people training with white people. You don't see the Mexicans only training with Mexican or the black only training with black. It's kind of crazy that we're letting these ancient news sources, these media outlets that are owned by the ultra wealthy, to spin up these narratives that there's a massive racial injustice going on across the country, when there's really not. There, as a young Mexican man, I've never come across someone who's stood in my way and said, "No, you can't do this because you're Mexican. Sorry, you're a minority. You can't get this job. We're looking for a white guy." Even in a subtle way, I've never experienced that. So it's crazy that it's just we have to supposedly go off of this media narrative, and they know best, and they're the ones looking out for us, and we need to be aware that racism is holding everyone back and minorities back, and the white man is the devil, and this crazy thing that doesn't exist. I don't get it. I don't get it, and I don't get when it became a thing, when it became a bad thing to say that racism isn't as rampant as people think it is. Does it still exist? Sure. Yeah. It's out there. It's happening in certain situations. But is it this prevalent thing that goes on a daily basis? No. Maybe you didn't get that job because you suck. Maybe you don't have this big, beautiful house that you want because you didn't save up enough money, or you weren't ambitious enough to go get a better role or a better job or start your own company. And that's why you're at the station of life that you're in. Do people refuse to take accountability for that? Maybe it's because when the government offered you to stay home and pay you $800 a week or whatever it was, you decided, hey, you know what? When I work, I only make $600 to $700 a week, or I make $1,000 a week. I might as well just stay at home, and it's about the same, or it's a little more than I made. But the hidden cost that people aren't factoring in is that now your career was stationary. You were stationary for a whole year, or a year and a half, or whatever it was, and your career didn't advance. Meanwhile, there were other people, myself included, and many others that I know, that refused to take that money and refused to sit on their ass while the government was just handing out money and said, you know what? Whether it's I have to pivot to another job or another industry or whatever it is, I'm gonna move forward because I know that there's a hidden cost to staying stationary in life. And if I don't keep advancing my career and my profession and my skill set, then I'm gonna be behind a year. I'm not just gonna be at the same place a year and a half later, a year later that I am now. I'm gonna be a year or more behind, and my career is gonna be behind. And all the goals that I have for myself, I'll be behind on. And that's the problem. The problem is that a lot of people don't have goals and don't have aspirations. They want things. I want that house. I want that car. I don't want to work too hard. I just want to like have a comfortable life. You're not going to have comfort unless you go out there and do uncomfortable things to get yourself there. No one's going to hand you anything. Everyone thinks the government is going to give you money and support you and care about you and take care of you and your family. They're not going to. People using examples like Canada has a healthcare system. Well, look into their healthcare system and you'll realize that, yeah, you don't have to pay, but one, their taxes are higher. Two, jobs are insanely competitive out there to even get to get any type of meaningful work. That's why so many Canadians come to the US to work. But you'll realize that the quality of care is much lower. You'll also realize that the wait time for surgeries or any type of care like that is substantially higher than here in the US. And there's a lot of other hidden costs and factors that most people don't account for. So while the US healthcare system needs a lot of improvement, I 100% agree with that. There's the models out there aren't, it's not apples to apples. You can't just compare Canada to the US. We're substantially bigger country in terms of population density, and it's not quite the same culturally, a lot of different things. So I 100% agree we can improve the healthcare system, but to say that we can just all of a sudden adopt different ideologies and different philosophies and implement the same exact programs is, it's absurd. You can't do that. You can't. So went off on a tangent from the Kyle Rittenhouse topic, but that is something that I think we'll definitely come back to. Let's see what else we got. We got the Waukesha Christmas parade attack, which is, it's fucking disgusting. Let me pull up what I had here for it. It was, and I'm still doing some research on it, to be honest with you. There's a lot there. So it looks like this was a few days ago, and it says the headline, Milwaukee BLM militant says Waukesha Christmas parade attack may start of a revolution. So again, trying to force feed these groups. I'll lead with this, and I think we can all agree. The whole Black Lives Matter movement, there's two different ways to think about it. There's the sentiment and the idea that Black Lives Matter. 100% agree with that. No one's argued, I don't think anyone except a small group of idiots would argue that Black lives don't matter. That's not a thing. I don't think that's a prevalent thing. I think everyone can support that Black lives matter. That's it. not complicated. Now, as an organization, Black Lives Matter is problematic. It's an extreme group who, honestly, their leadership is full of shit. They're being funded probably by Chinese government, by either the Chinese government or some business groups in China, some communist-leaning groups. It's insane that these groups popped up overnight and all of a sudden had what seemed like hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars at their disposal. And then you look into the leadership and they preach this communism type ideology and communist-like platform, and really they're masquerading. They're taking this notion or idea that Black Lives Matter, which 100% true, and then they're pushing this other communist agenda. What have they done for the Black community? Like, I can't think of anything they've done, any meaningful thing they've done, and I'd love to know. But you're seeing their leadership grab this money and take people's money and take their resources, ask for money, donations, things like that, and then they're buying beachfront property, they're buying mansions in Malibu with the proceeds from these donations. It's like, what's going on? Why are you guys funding the lifestyle of these people? Like, it's crazy. If you compare it to, say, another communist regime, popular communist regime, or well-known communist regime, Cuba, take them for instance. You look at Fidel Castro when he was alive and his brother Raul and that whole family. They preached communism and they took over that country, preaching communism and equality and free healthcare for everyone. And ask any person that's been to Cuba or that knows someone that escaped Cuba, and they'll tell you that it's all charade. It's all bullshit. It's fucking terrible there. The quality of life is horrible. This whole free healthcare thing, can you see a doctor? Yeah. Is it gonna be good care? Maybe, maybe not. But what about the rest of your life there? Like, what's your lifestyle like there? It's not good. They tell you when to eat, what you can eat. Here's your rations. Here's the profession you're gonna do. You're gonna get paid the same. If you're a doctor or engineer, you're gonna get paid the same as a janitor. It's ridiculous. And guess who's actually living comfortably? Top government officials. The people that the top government officials dictate or decree are essential or top worthy people. So basically, all the best friends and all the people that are friendly with the government will live like kings. Fidel Castro wasn't living in some fucking shanty in Cuba. He was living in a mansion, in a palace. So was his family. So tell me how that's fair. Tell me how that follows the ideology of we'll all live equally and we'll all have access to the same resources and everything will be fair. It's bullshit. And meanwhile, you have these groups like Black Lives Matter that are pushing this whole agenda of we're going to advance quality of life for, I don't even think they say this, but in a roundabout way, they're promising to improve the quality of life and for the Black community. Meanwhile, they're doing nothing. They're taking the money and they're doing who the fuck knows what with it. They're pushing the communist agenda of the people that started the organization. Where real change is going to happen in the community. Real change is going to happen at a community level. Excuse me. Where neighbors will stand up and say, "Hey, pick up your fucking trash, Bob or Mike or whatever the fuck. Let's clean up the yard. Let's make sure that we're all that we're keeping our homes tidy, our apartments, whatever they are. Let's make sure we set an example that we don't allow people in gangs or people that are selling drugs to do this in front of our communities. Let's report them to the police. Start a neighborhood watch. Let's do something about it. Let's make the area that we live in better." And I can say that from I was born and raised on the south side of Chicago, and actual Chicago, not in the suburbs of Chicago. And it makes a big difference when the community is involved, when whether it's cleaning up your yard or reporting things to the police. It's when did this whole bullshit start that the police are the enemy? Like, if someone breaks into your house, you have two options. One, you could be armed, which I highly recommend, and protect yourself. But the other option is you also call the police. And I think you should do both. Because, I mean, it totally depends, right? Like, what if a whole squad of people, like you're seeing in San Francisco right now, looting stores? What if a small group like that decides, "Hey, we're gonna raid this whole block. We're gonna break into people's houses one by one in a group of 10 or whatever it is, and we're gonna break into their to your house." What do you do then? If you're smart, you have a shotgun or a firearm that can handle, that can help you, actually help you in that situation, whether it's a rifle or whatever that may be, at least a handgun. But you're also going to call the police. Like, you can't. The same group of people that are bashing police are the ones that are supposedly against the Second Amendment and firearms and having the right to bear arms. So if you don't have a gun and you don't believe in calling the police, what do you do when someone breaks into your house? What do you do when someone breaks into your car? Just let them take it? Are you gonna share your property? Is that the communist idea? Like, come on in, take all my stuff. Come on in, have sex with my wife or whatever, whatever. Like, what are you gonna, like, what? What do you do? I don't get it. I don't get why this has become a thing, but going back to this Waukesha, Wisconsin, I'm probably butchering it, but it was this lunatic who I think he was a Black Lives Matter guy, and he drove a car through a parade and killed, I think, at least six or seven people, maybe eight now, children included. It's disgusting no matter what. But when kids are involved, it's a whole nother layer of disgusting. And you're hearing all these idiots, whether it's politicians or now Black Lives Matter activists, aka communist leaders. I did finger quotes for those not watching video. They're coming out and saying, "Well, maybe this is retribution for the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict and him getting off, and getting off on the charges." How fucking disgusting is that? Where you're somehow rationalizing the death of innocent people. It's fucking gross. It's fucking gross that anyone would try to draw those two together and rationalize and justify this fucking lunatic driving into a crowd of people and killing themselves. You try to compare that and connect that to a young man protecting himself and killing two guys in self-defense. How do you even do that? How do you draw that conclusion? It's fucking gross. Yeah, there's no motive yet released. I can tell you the motive is the fucking guy's a lunatic. It's funny that when I mentioned it earlier, when the Kyle Rittenhouse case came up, media outlets even reported that he killed, incorrectly reported that he killed black men. And I forgot the outlet that it was, whether it was The Guardian or some other source, left-leaning source, incorrectly reported that. And they made it all about race. They said white guy kills black man. They've even went as far as to say that. Then they softened it and tried to draw the connection to the black community by saying he killed these guys, murdered, use the word murdered. He murdered those two men at a Black Lives Matter rally. And they again try to draw this connection to the black community. How fucking disingenuous is that? And meanwhile, this guy that plowed into the Christmas parade, it's a black male, and they're trying to like humanize this guy again. They're saying that, potentially we don't know the motive yet. Why does the motive matter? Is there any motive out there that can rationalize why he would drive a car into a crowd of people and kill them? Like, why are we placating this fucking narrative of, well, maybe he was a troubled person and maybe he had a rough childhood? And listen, a lot of fucking people have rough childhoods. Does that give you the right to fucking drive a car through a crowd of people? No, absolutely not. It's fucking insane, and it's fucking disgusting. So we'll follow this case as it goes, but I hope this guy gets the fucking death penalty. I don't know if Wisconsin has a death penalty. He's a fucking disgusting piece of shit, and there is no fucking revolution. There's no revolution of fucking allowing this bullshit. Not if we say something about it. Not if we stand up and call it for what it is. It's bullshit. There is no excuse to drive a car through a group of people. There just isn't. It's not gonna fucking happen. And it's not gonna, we're not just gonna sweep this under the rug and say, sure, let's just sympathize with the fact that his dad hit him or whatever the fuck the excuse is. No. He fucking killed innocent people. That's it. And he needs to be held accountable. And as a society, we need to hold people accountable for their bullshit. So that's it on that on that. I mean, we'll follow it, but it's fucking gross. It's hard to even talk about. Let's see. What do we got next? Biden mandate. Where are we at with that? That's a good question. Let's see. So last I heard was OSHA suspended the Biden mandate, pending the Sixth Court of Appeals decision. And now just yesterday, the Biden administration, because we know the president, air quotes, not really our president, as most of us know, it's all bullshit. Who's running that fucking show, by the way? Like, it's not Kamala Harris. So if she's not running it, who is technically the vice president, who's running it? Is it Pfizer? Is it like the CEO of Pfizer? That's actually, I mean, based on everything that's happening, that's a great fucking, it's the best guess I have. I'm sure you guys are thinking the same thing. But they asked the federal court to reinstate the workplace vaccine mandate that was put on hold earlier this month. So let's see, they filed it overnight in the Cincinnati-based federal appeals court. They're claiming that delaying the standard would endanger many thousands of people and would likely cost many lives per day. What a fucking bullshit general statement, right? They're gonna cost thousands of lives, maybe hundreds, maybe we don't know, just a lot. It's like, yeah, the deadly virus that most people have a 99.9% chance or 99.8% chance of surviving. I've had COVID and it sucked. I was pretty sick for a week, like really badly, and the recovery took like a week or two, like to feel 100%. Probably took another 2 weeks for me. So not a mild case whatsoever. Pretty bad case for sure, I would say, but I'm fucking fine now. I survived it. I'm fine. A lot of people have similar stories. And meanwhile, we're forcing kids to take it, even though kids have. There's a stat out there, which you guys can find if you Google it, Google, or search it. We're gonna have to move away from Google soon. There's a stat out there that says unvaccinated kids have a higher survival rate of COVID than fully vaccinated adults. And is that surprising? Because you're seeing these crazy adverse side effects to the vaccine, myocarditis, pericarditis, all these crazy things coming up when people are taking the vaccine. And I've heard it from I don't know how many personal friends that, yeah, that second shot really put me on my ass. It's like, yeah, because we don't know what the fuck's in it. There's no recourse for taking the vaccine and then fucking having horrible side effects from it. And then recently the is it Pfizer or the FDA said that the FDA said that they wouldn't release the data on the vaccines until like 2075 or something, like all the data. Which makes you think, why are they hiding it? Why would you want to hide this for over 50 years? There's no transparency, and that's where the trust was broken early on. There's no transparency on what's going on. There's no transparency on what caused COVID. There's no an actual intent to find out what happened and what caused COVID, which we can all, it's pretty easy to start extrapolating what happened. There were riots in China in late 2019. Everywhere, like, from my understanding, at least from September, riots in Hong Kong. Hong Kong was on fire. And then come right around that same time, guess what happened? I mean, you're talking millions of people, if not billions. They have so many people there in the streets burning things down. And all of a sudden, COVID hits. There's so many traces to COVID coming from the Wuhan lab. And all of a sudden, guess what? Those protests, oh, you have to stop that immediately. It's a health issue now. Then it spreads across and around the world. And guess what happens? These politicians finally have a platform to take power. The country was doing well under President Trump. Gas prices were at an all-time low. You'd see gas hit less than $1 a gallon. People were working. There was food in abundance. There was absolutely no food shortages. I remember getting like ribeye steaks for $4 or $5 a pound. Now, good luck even finding ribeye. Or New York strips. If you could find it, it's like $15 to $20 a pound. And like, just go to your grocery store. And you can confirm it. It's no fucking coincidence. And if you think it's a coincidence, you're fucking lying to yourself. It's bullshit. And this mandate is just another way to, it's a final grab to try to keep control over the country, because luckily we're fighting back. And that's what this whole platform is about. This is why I'm starting this. Most people want to be left the fuck alone. I wanted to be left the fuck alone. It's not easy for any of us to speak up. It's not. There's who knows what kind of implications are going to happen for me actually speaking my mind. Hopefully nothing. Hopefully it's not. Hopefully I'm waking up people, or I'm what I'm saying is resonating, because it's the truth. And we shouldn't be afraid to speak the truth. It shouldn't be this big thing. I shouldn't feel nervous to speak the truth. Just like my, I'm trying to keep my personal opinions very limited to this. I'm just telling you, one, I'm telling you what I think for sure, but I'm coming at this from the most logical perspective I can. There's no explanation for, there's no logical explanation for why we're being told to take a vaccine that isn't necessary. There's no logical explanation why we, as a country, aren't prioritizing a more secure voting system, why we're not using blockchain for voting that would 100% eliminate voter fraud and corruption. It doesn't make sense. You're telling me that we're still gonna accept mail-in votes and use these archaic voting systems. Why? When we have blockchain, it's being used in food distribution and all sorts of other things. Cryptocurrency, it's being used in, it's even being used by conventional or kind of mega financial institutions like JP Morgan and these other big places. This isn't like some radical new technology. It's been around for a good amount of time now, at least 5 years, probably way longer than the COVID vaccine. So why are we afraid to adopt it for voting? Why are we trying to suppress votes? We, as in the, why is the left trying to suppress voting by letting illegal people vote and not requiring IDs to vote? And the ID thing is ridiculous too. It's like, no, we can't stop someone from voting because they don't have an ID. It's so hard to get an ID. Minority groups are at a disadvantage to get an ID. I'm a fucking minority. No one stopped me from getting an ID. I got my fucking paperwork together. I grabbed the two pieces of mail, my birth certificate or whatever the fuck was required for it. I forgot. But it's a couple of pieces of documentation and you go get an ID. It takes all of 1 hour at the DMV. Get a driver's license or even an ID. It's not fucking hard. Even a passport isn't that difficult. You fill out a form, you take a couple pictures, you mail it in, it comes a month later. And no one's even asking you to get a passport. No one's asking for that difficult amount. Like, passport is another step up in terms of like the type of the type of materials that you need to present and things like that to get it. But a state ID or a state driver's license takes an hour. Get a couple bills together that you had mailed to you. And I think it's a passport or a social, or not passport, a social or birth certificate. And that's it. Then you get your ID. Then you can vote. Why is that hard? Why do they make it seem that, oh no, these minorities, Mexicans and blacks, they can't do that. That's oh, they're at a significant disadvantage. Why? We're not retarded. We're not like, do you understand how insulting that is? That I'm being told that as a minority, it's more difficult. It's more of a cognitive challenge for me to put together the documentation to get an ID. It's fucking absurd, and it's personally insulting. But no, that's we can't allow. Why can't you allow that? Why can't you allow people? Why can't you make it a rule, a law, which it is a law in most places, that you need an ID to vote, and we get rid of mail-in voting bullshit, because that's this whole ballot stuffing an election is completely against the ideals and standards we set as a society for our elections. Mail-in voting should only be possible for military and armed forces personnel that can't make it to a place to vote. But even then, if we set up a blockchain system for voting, they could instantaneously vote wherever they are, even if they're in Iraq or Afghanistan or wherever they are. That would solve everything. But we're refusing to do so. You have to ask yourself why. It makes no sense why. Why do they not want? Why do the people in power now not want instantaneous voting that's easy, secure, 100% secure, and accessible? Why? It's not for good reason. It's because they want to keep controlling the votes. They want to keep controlling the elections. And this should terrify everyone. I don't care who's in power. I don't want either political party to control an election. The whole point of voting is to let the people vote and to let the will of the people decide who is running the government that represents us. That's it. Anyways, so it looks like this is on hold. The mandate's on hold, but I think they're going to decide pretty soon here. Sounds like the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit in Cincinnati is looking to rule on this. Looks like I think in the first few weeks of December. So more to come on that. Keep an eye out on that, guys, because that's extremely important. It's a bullshit mandate. We all know it, and it seems like the courts are gonna decide that, and looks like they're gonna hopefully rule in the right direction on that. The last thing I wanted to touch on, there's so much going on, but inflation. I touched on it briefly. But yeah, I mean, I think I covered it a little while ago, but that's the last thing I wanted to touch on is go to your grocery store. And if you can tell me that you don't see empty shelves, then I'd be fucking amazed. Send me a picture. Maybe they restock in the morning, but even then, I mean, I go to Walmart, I'll go to Target, I'll go to Fry's, which is a Kroger company, Safeway. You'll see empty shelves all throughout the day, all throughout the week. You'll see meat that is any type of beef is horribly priced. It's like 2 to 3 times more expensive than it was before. And going back on the inflation thing, or even touching on it a little bit more, there was a stat out there that I saw that if you didn't if your wages didn't increase by something like 5%, I think at least 5%, then you made a lot less money this year than previous year. And I think everyone can attest to how hard it is. At least I can attest to it from a corporate standpoint, from corporate job standpoint. It's hard to get a 5% raise at the same organization you're at, unless you move jobs, companies, or you get a promotion to like a next level of leadership. It's gonna be hard to get a 10% raise or five or any even a 5% raise or anything higher. It's hard. So you're telling me that tells me that a large amount of people are being hurt and affected by inflation right now. There's a lot of memes out there and a lot of content. It's really funny, but it's funny, but it's also frustrating and scary that if you go to a gas station, you're likely spending 2 to 3 times more money than you were a year ago. And I don't care how much money you make, if you're unless you're a multimillionaire, then it's gonna affect you. It's gonna bother you. No one wants to spend another $20 to $30 per gas per trip at the gas station. No one. It adds up. If you drive a lot for work, or if you drive around, just you live in a more remote or rural area, whatever the case is, you're gonna pay more, and it's gonna hurt. Even if you live in a city, I don't drive a car. Well, guess what? You probably take an Uber. Your Uber driver is gonna pay more in gas, and guess what's gonna happen? The rates are gonna go up. It's gonna affect you somehow. So this whole narrative, if your response to this is, well, it doesn't affect me because I commute on the train. Well, guess what? Trains are gonna raise their prices too because energy costs are gonna be higher no matter what, whether it's gasoline or coal or whatever mode of transportation that you use. All of those costs are going up, and all of those will be handed back down to the consumer. So you will pay more, whether you're doing it now or you will in a few months. It's gonna affect you. And you can imagine, say you fill up your tank once a week. And so that's another, say, let's say another $20 a week. $20 times four, it's $80 more a month that you're spending on gas. What could you have done with those $80? Say you have a bigger vehicle, $30. It's $120 a month. What could you do with that $80 to $120 more a month? It's a week's worth of groceries, maybe? What else? What else could you have done? Saved it for a few months and then went on a vacation. It's a vacation you could have had. Maybe you repainted your house. If you saved up a couple months or a year, you could have repainted your house or fixed your car or paid off a debt or countless other things you could have done with that money. But now you don't have access to it. And it doesn't stop at gas. Food prices are up something like 30 to 50%. You see this bullshit administration saying, well, do more with less. This might be a lighter Thanksgiving. Don't buy a turkey. And that'll incentivize people not to come to your house, and you'll save more money that way. So you're fucking telling us to ration our food? Eat less. They'll tell you to eat less in the context of save money, and that way it won't be that bad of a Thanksgiving. But they won't tell you to eat less to not be morbidly obese so that you have a better immune system against COVID. What kind of bullshit is that? They'll tell you to not eat as much because it'll offset inflation or help offset inflation, but they won't tell you to eat less because you're a fat piece of shit. Because guess what? If you're not obese, you won't have as many health problems. It's a fact. Obese people are more likely to have health problems and health issues and to complicate and exacerbate their health issues or create new ones than people who aren't obese. I'm not a fucking doctor, but I guarantee you can't find a doctor who won't agree with that. There's no doctor out there that will tell you being obese is good for you. There's some sketchy motherfuckers that are gonna say, well, you could still be healthy and be obese, which is bullshit. That's a fucking lie. This whole you can be healthy while being obese thing is bullshit. It's just trying to fit that whole narrative of softening the world for people. No, that is not a fucking thing. It's not a fucking thing. So inflation's fucking with all of us. Food prices, gas, cost of a car. Can't even get a car. You can't get a, it's hard to get a new car these days. The used car market's going crazy. It's going crazy because there's no new chips for new vehicles. You're seeing companies like GM through their, whether it's the Chevy brand or the actual GM brand or Cadillac, they're releasing cars without like heated seats and things like that. With limited features now because they don't have access to the chips. You're seeing Ford stall out their F-150, their most popular vehicle production, because they don't have enough semiconductor chips or different types of chips to complete these vehicles. So what happens? The vehicles get more expensive, or there is no new vehicle. So what do? They sell used vehicles, or they try to buy used vehicles and then sell them for ridiculous rates. There's just an article about a dealership that was, you guys can look this up. There's an article about a dealership, I believe it was a Toyota dealership, that they were selling a RAV4 for $97,000, almost $100,000 for a fucking RAV4. Are you kidding me? And at the high end, I think it was like a luxury version, but which is crazy even. But they were selling it for, I think the MSRP was supposed to be like 46 grand, which kind of fucking crazy if you would even spend 46 grand on a RAV4, but whatever. Top end, fully loaded, every fucking feature you can think of, 46 grand for this RAV4. Well, they tacked on a bunch of bullshit upgrades, and on top of that, they put a $40,000 just like fee. Just this is what the dealer's adding because we want to. It's fucking crazy. And you're seeing that across the country at I don't know how many dealerships. It's insane. It's insane that people fucking are paying for. Well, I hope no one pays for it, but it's insane that this is what we're living through. We're living through some fucking attempted communist takeover, and we can't let it happen. We can't. We need to speak the fuck up, and we need to be vocal and stand against this and just play your fucking part. Say no. Fuck you. Fuck you to wearing your mask. Fuck you to the vaccine. If you want to get the vaccine, get the fucking vaccine. I don't want to, but don't support forcing people to do something. If you want to wear a mask, wear a fucking mask. Whatever. Don't force me to wear a mask. Don't force people to do things they don't want to do. We're not dealing with polio. It's not what's happening here. So on that note, guys, just stand the fuck up. Stand the fuck up in a way that will matter. I mean, it's frustrating. It's frustrating that we couldn't just be left the fuck alone. I know most of us just want to be left the fuck alone. We want to work hard, provide for our families, advance our careers, and just enjoy time with the people we care about. But they had to fucking poke the bear. And the bear is us, good people, regular people who just want to do better for ourselves and our families. And we just couldn't be left the fuck alone. So now that if they're pushing us, we need to push back. And we need to say something. We need to be vocal. We need to show resistance, and we need to resist. So play your part. Say fuck off. And let me know if share this with friends. Share this with someone who supports this, and even someone who doesn't. I'm curious what other people have to think or say about this, and I'm curious why anyone would disagree with this, because again, I don't think I'm coming at this from a perspective that's completely unreasonable. Like, none of what I said is far-fetched. And most of it, if not 90%, more than 90% of it, 99% of it, you can find on your own. I mean, I challenge you guys to point something out that there's absolutely no evidence to support that I've said. So, thanks for listening, guys. I'm gonna keep doing this. I don't give a fuck if only one person listens. I'm gonna keep doing it. I need to say this. I need to point out what's going on, and I look forward to bringing on more people here to talk with me, so it's not just me ranting. But whether I get someone or not to jump in, I will keep covering what's going on here, and I'll keep asking you guys to help join this movement of there's a lot more of us good people out there than there are of those fucking lunatics, the 1,000 people that are controlling the country or the world. We have to stand up, say no, fuck you to mainstream media, fuck you to the people that are trying to tell us what to do, and fuck you to all the people that are trying to silence us and force us to comply with bullshit we don't agree with. So fuck them, and let's push the truth out there. Thanks, guys.